The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And a very good morning to you. This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. It's Donal Kavanagh standing in for Greg on the programme this morning. It's my last day of the week and Greg's back on Monday. But we've got a really interesting show lined up for you today. A very interesting Friday panel indeed. Introduces those in just a moment. In the second hour, Seamus Gunn will be here. He'll be taking your legal questions. We'll be discussing one of the stories of the day as well. And then in our entertainment slot later on, Michael Eddy is being joined this morning by Sinead Breen. We'll be looking at some of the films, TV programmes, podcasts, radio shows and live performances that might interest you in the days and the week ahead. So plenty to look forward to on the show. We do of course want to hear from you. 086 60 25000 is the number for texts and WhatsApp messages. You can call us 074 91 25000 00353 74 91 25000 if you're outside the dialing area. Caroline Orr producing this morning and taking your calls as well. Also, we're on social media at Highland Radio on X. We're Highland Hub on Facebook, and we're broadcasting indeed live on our Facebook channels and also on our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland, so you can actually watch the discussions, including the Friday panel, of course, on which our panellists are all joining us on Zoom, and you can see the entertainment slot. Indeed, there's a lot of visuals to look forward to on a Friday, so that can all be seen, as I say, on our Facebook pages and our YouTube channel as well. But without any further ado, let's introduce you to our Friday panel this morning, and it's a panel of young people. Donegal Youth Council is having its annual conference next week. We spoke earlier this week to Stephen, Joanne and Rowan from the council. So we're going to keep that youth team going this morning. And we have three young people on the panel. We have Tiernan Lynch, who's on the Student Council of Loretto Community School in Milford. Tiernan, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Donal. How are you?
Very well indeed, thank you. We have Cassie Lamb, Regional Officer for the Irish Second Level Students Union. Cassie, good morning.
Good morning.
And we have Chloe Martin, who is also on the Student Council of Loretto Community School in Milford. Chloe, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
As I say, three young people on the panel today, so let's try and get straight to the issues that affect you. I want to ask you all, and I'm going to start with you, Cassie, because I know you do a lot of campaigning as Regional Officer for the Irish Second Level Students Union. Is there a disconnect between what politicians are talking about in the council chamber in Donegal and in the Dáil nationally and in the Shannon and in other regional assemblies? Is there a disconnect between what they're talking about and the priorities of young people in 2023?
So personally, myself, as a Donegal regional officer, you know, I have been to the county council chamber and I've sat down with councillors and TDs. I spoke about matters that are so important to me and for the young people of Donegal, because that's who I represent. So I really advocate for better transportation here in Donegal and for rural students. And, you know, when I sat down with the TDs and the councillors, they all said the same thing. It's being talked about in the Dáil. And I'm kind of thinking, right, so if it's being talked about every single day or every single moment in the Dáil about better transportation for Donegal, would we not have a better transportation line into Donegal already? You know, we don't have a train line, bus airing, you know. Then if you even look at our housing, you know, Donegal in general, it's nearly being ignored. So if councillors are saying Donegal is being looked at every day, it's not really, because the Dáil and the big boys in general, then they're not really caring if they're not talking about it.
And do you feel a sense of frustration then, because you effectively are advocating on a local level with Donegal County Council, but what they're saying to you is we're powerless?
Yeah, 100%. Because I remember the first time I sat down and, you know, I was trying to get my point across and I nearly felt that my point was being overlooked. And that's not fair because, you know, I'm a young person. My voice matters. They're not. You know, we experience different things, but we're in the same time. You know, I see what's happening in Donegal. You know, even though I'm a young person again, I can see what's happening. You know, I know we have a housing crisis. I know we are lacking transportation. So why should I be overlooked? So I am always so frustrated when I am nearly treated like that.
Tiernan, as a young person who is on the student council in your school, obviously you have an interest in current affairs. You have an interest in being involved in representation. There was a great song by the Smiths in the 80s called Panic, and there was a line in that that said, panic on the streets of Dublin and panic on the radio because the music they constantly play says nothing to me about my life. And does what's talked about on the news here, and let's say it does what we talk about on the news here in Highland is what's talked about on the news on RTE and the National Challenge. Does it say anything to you about your life?
Well, in terms of current affairs, as you said, I've always had a huge interest. Studying politics for almost 2 years now has always been a part of my life. I think it's something that's very interesting, something that's always been a part of me. I love to represent young people and have my voice being across, and to understand how politicians make change and how you have to like talk to politicians and discuss with politicians. As someone who's on Donegal Youth Council, yesterday we had several discussions about the youth conference that is coming up, and I think it's probably one of many opportunities that should be promoted more. I think there should be more conferences and there should be more opportunities for young activists to speak. Especially in Donegal. At Donegal, we are quoted as the forgotten county. So I think the best thing to do is to allow more opportunities for young people to speak. I understand there's many roles out there already, but I feel like if we can open conferences for young people, even in student councils or prefect teams or any systems, even in school, to allow more conversations to be opened, would probably be the best foot forward in terms of allowing more youth activism to take place.
What sort of conversations are you having with similar student bodies and student councils and youth councils and so on around about the country? Because sometimes I wonder, we have this dialogue here in Donegal that Donegal is the forgotten county and we're on the periphery and we're forgotten about. I sometimes wonder, is there a student council in Athlone saying Westmeath is the forgotten county? Is there a student council in Kilkenny City saying Kilkenny is the forgotten county? Is there a student council in Oranmore saying Galway is the forgotten county?
Well, for me, you know, Donegal needs to represent itself. Westmeath needs to represent itself. And Aramore Island does need to represent itself. I think that if we allow more opportunities for rural areas to open up and allow conversation, because the best, what I could do is use my voice and, you know, do activism and discuss what my issues are as a young person in Donegal. But I feel like other groups and other organisations in the country need to step up as well and discuss their own issues. I think the government needs to allow more opportunities, if that makes sense at all.
Absolutely. Chloe, I want to go to you, and a very good morning to you, Chloe. From your point of view, like Tiernan, like Cassie, I mean, I'm sure you do feel that frustration where you're making your views known, you're discussing things at youth council level, at student council level, you're bringing it to the councillors, to the officials in Donegal, and then the feeling seems to be it doesn't go anywhere. What needs to change here?
Honestly, my biggest issue at the minute is the levels of emigration and rural deprivation, and I actually spoke about this last time I was on Highland. And still nothing has changed. And I've spoken to different senators and TDs about it. We actually did a project here in Dunai where we worked with an organisation called Politics in Action. And social deprivation was one of the topics that was brought up. And we had made a youth manifesto. And it still hasn't gone anywhere in the terms that I come from the point of view that I'm from Fannet. And I mean, it is truly the back end of nowhere. And we have such a lack of amenities up here. And touching on what Cassie said about transport, I mean, there's such a lack of transport around here for young people where they can't really get many places without a car. And I mean, there are a few, there's a local link bus service, but apart from that, there's no way to get out of here, which is why, I mean, I looked up the levels of emigration and 64,000 people have left Ireland between April of 2022 and April of 2023, which I think just shows that something needs to be done. And I feel that those in the Dáil and county chambers aren't really taking us seriously because we're so young. And I'm not saying they don't listen to us, but it's all well and good listening to us and not actually doing anything to change what's going on.
And it's an interesting point you make there about transport, because the argument is made very often that ultimately decisions are being made by civil servants and officials who live in Dublin. And because they live in Dublin, they live in an urban area. They have access to buses, they have access to Lewis, they have access to trains, they have access to an infrastructure, which means if they want to walk or cycle or get a bus or get a train or get a tram to their work or to their school or whatever, those options are open to them. And sometimes the perception is that there are people in Dublin that just have no conception of what living somewhere like Fannet is like.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have an uncle that lives in Dublin and he doesn't have a car because he doesn't need one. I have relatives in big cities in London and Dublin as well who don't need cars. Whereas, for example, the bus that runs to Fannet, there's, I think, four times on the timetable starting at 7:30 in the morning and the last one's at 3:30. And I have to either get a lift to the bus, first of all, or cycle about 30 minutes to get to the bus stop to then get a bus for 1 hour and 10 minutes to get into Letterkenny alone.
And then have to leave Letterkenny by 3:30 in order to get home.
Yeah.
It's definitely an interesting one. So, Cathy, going back to yourself, I mean, you know, we've heard from Tiernan and from Chloe as well, and it's clear that all three of you are hugely committed and all three of you want to be listened to. What needs to change so that you are listened to?
So, personally, I think, you know, from myself, Tiernan and Chloe, you know, we're doing as much as we can. You know, we are going against things that, you know, young people shouldn't be doing. You know, we're finally nearly just taking a stand because we're just fed up, because it's our future, it's our generation who will have to live here, you know. And I remember the last time we were here, I think all four of us said that we don't see ourselves being in Donegal in the future or being in Ireland in the future. Now, isn't that just great to see? It isn't, you know. Is that really what our government wants to see? And, you know, the TDs and the councils want to put a Northwest capital up here, you know. But what needs to happen is that they really need to start listening to us, because it's not their future, it's ours. And something really has to be done, because we're telling them, we're telling our opinion and we're standing up, but there's no change happening.
And have you in any way changed your mind, Cathy, that maybe you do have a future in Donegal, maybe you can stay here, or do you still think there's a certain inevitability that you're going to end up elsewhere?
To be fairly honest, I see myself going to college in Dublin, but then after then, I want to go volunteering in the EU. You know, that's where I see myself. It's what I think, that's my dream.
Yeah.
It's my passion. My always backup plan will be probably to stay here. But, you know, my passion, my dream is to leave Ireland.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and in a sense, there's two forms of emigration, you can argue. There's the form of immigration whereby someone chooses to better themselves and pursue a career and pursue a dream, as you've said, by going and working, be it in Brussels or be it in Strasbourg or wherever. If that's what you want to do, that's absolutely fair enough. That's an absolutely valid aspiration, and we wish you all the best with it. There is a difference between someone choosing to emigrate out of choice and someone feeling they're forced to emigrate because they don't have a future. And I suppose really what we would like to see, there will always be emigration. People will always... I moved away for a couple of years and I lived in London and I lived in the Middle East when I was in my early 20s. Again, the first time actually wasn't by choice. The first time was because it was a huge unemployment crisis and I had no choice. I came out of college and I had nothing. So I went to London. But, you know, many people do go away out of choice. And what we really want, I suppose, is a situation where we have immigration by choice and we don't have forced immigration. We don't have a situation where, I mean, you know, I'm sure there's GAA clubs in Fannet and other clubs now who are struggling to try and put a team out because so many of the team members over the years have left. I'm going to go back to you, Tiernan, and put the same question to you. Do you feel that you now have a choice? If you are to move away, it'll be a matter of choice and not a matter of inevitability.
I think for me, in terms of university next year, I know for a fact that paying for Dublin will probably be brutal. It'll probably be almost impossible for me to even consider. So I think for me, for university, I'm going to go to Queen's in Belfast because it's more cheaper and more sustainable financially for myself and my family.
Even with the fact that Belfast still has fees, whereas theoretically Dublin doesn't.
I think in terms of that, I think that it's a better financial plan for me personally, as over time I can pay it back. I understand there is SUSE grants and stuff like that, but in terms of my own personal research, I think it's probably better if I go down the Northern Ireland route. In terms of seeing myself in Donegal in the future, my answer is still no. I would love as much as I love my county, I grew up here, it's my family, it's my memories. But I think the best option for me, for my life, is just to leave, because our government just struggles to even consider Donegal, for me anyway. And I think it's just, it's unfair, as Cassie said, it's just, it's unfair. Like, I can debate, I can argue, I can discuss how Donegal needs more and more and more. But if politicians are not going to sit down with me and other youth activists and actually come up with a plan for change, you know, I think the best option for me is to leave. I understand that immigration is probably a huge problem today in Ireland, because the government does not want us to leave. But if it's the case where the government isn't satisfying its citizens, I think the best possible solution is just to simply leave.
Chloe, going back to you before we take a break, you've actually, as you've said, you've done a lot of work studying immigration patterns. You've been looking at the whole issue of immigration. From your point of view, do you see yourself, if you are to go, is it going to be a matter of choice, or is it going to be a matter of feeling there is nothing else you can do but go?
I'm not really sure where I'll be in the future. I hope to be in Galway this time next year, but whatever about Ireland, I can probably put money on it that I won't be in Fannad. I think what people have to think about is, as well, I have to think about the future in terms of when I someday very, very far down the line have kids. And I mean, already the levels are local primary school. The numbers have gone down significantly. They were over 100 when my mum was there, and my brother's there now, and they're down to about 50. And it's going to keep going that way. And I just feel like I can't see myself living here in Fannad in the future, maybe in Ireland itself. But I don't think it will be a matter of choice, because I'm kind of feeling like, in terms of job aspects as well, I want to go into political journalism. And I feel like there might be better opportunities for that down the country, if not abroad. And so I don't know if it is a matter of choice, personally, because it was a matter of choice, I'd be in Fannad, I think.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a short break. Back in a few moments with our Friday panel. It is 23 and a half minutes past 9 o'clock. It's the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. We are discussing the issues of the day with our Friday panel on Zoom. It's a panel of young people this week. Tiernan Lynch is on the Student Council of Loretto Community School in Milford. Cassie Lamb is Regional Officer for Irish Second Level Students Union. And Chloe Martin is on the Student Council of Loretto Community School in Milford as well. Now, we were discussing immigration and immigration patterns before the break, and a number of comments. The caller says, the majority of people in Ireland believe we have done our bit in the past few years regarding mass immigration. We definitely need to think about applying the brakes. The public concern on this issue is too great. No, that's not really a comment on the issue we were discussing. On the issue of immigration, we're educating our young people for export, and listening to these young people, they're all talking about leaving. I believe anyone who is educated here and leaves within 2 years of qualification should be made pay their education fees back in full. Now, the thing is, technically there aren't education fees. You pay a registration fee to go to college within the Republic of Ireland. Now, and that registration fee can be somewhere between one and a half and €2,000, perhaps even more. So, I mean, there aren't fees per se. It is a free education. And believe you me, as someone who put two children through college back in the day, it is anything but free. Yeah, you do get this argument, particularly in terms of nursing and medicine and so on and so forth, and maybe it's something that needs to be discussed, but I mean, you can't really take choice from people. Chloe made a very interesting point about Fannad and living in a rural area, and that was the point about transport. And I want to look back at a suggestion that was made in the Dáil last week by the Rural Independent Group. Michael Healy-Ray spoke on it when he proposed that as a school subject, driving should be on the curriculum. And students in school should do their theory test once they hit transition year, and there should be driving lessons in the school context, with the idea that by the time second level students leave their school, they should have a provisional license and they should have the equivalent of the 12 mandatory driving lessons under their belt before they leave school. Just want to get the panel's view on that. Is that something that they believe would work? Tiernan, I'm going to go to you first on this one. Is this something you believe would be a practical thing for young people, particularly in a rural county like Donegal?
I think it's a very interesting topic to open up. I think it's excellent. I think it's a fantastic idea. Young people should be given more opportunities to drive. I understand with the lack of transport, so that's probably a good subsidy, if that makes any sense at all. And I think it's excellent. I think it's a great opportunity for young people to understand how to drive and how it's a basic life skill. Like in mathematics, like what is the minus B formula going to do in my future, you know? And in English, learning about Educated and the Shawshank Redemption, like I understand it's beautiful English literature, but how is that going to help me in my future? For the Leaving Cert anyway. So I think adding driving would be very unique and interesting. I would love to take it. Mm-hmm. I think it's an excellent idea for young people to have the opportunity to do that. Cassie, I think it's a great skill.
Cassie, going to yourself, is this something that's come up at your discussions in terms of the Irish Second Level Students Union?
So actually, it hasn't come up yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't. But I think it's an idea. And there's pros, there's cons, and, you know, there's different opinions about it because a lot of students, they wouldn't be able to even afford the car, maybe let alone the insurance. But then if you want to put this into schools, now this has come through my view, if you want to put it in schools, how will it actually go through? Because there's only two schools in Donegal that actually do politics and society as a subject, you know. Our school doesn't have it. I hope it comes in the future. But I can't take that subject. I'll have to do it outside of school. So it's nearly, how will this roll out then in secondary schools? Will every secondary school take it?
Mm. And will every secondary school have a car? Will the insurance be through the school? Will their teachers teachers be there who are qualified driving instructors? Will the student be forced to have their own insurance, and is that going to put an extra cost? Oh, there is a huge discussion and a huge debate, but maybe it's an interesting debate to start.
Yeah, no, 100%. Because, like, again, as you're saying, are the teachers going to be teaching them how to drive? Mm. You know, and the idea of, say, especially for rural students like ourselves here, I think it's a bright idea for students that, because we lack in transportation, at least we have maybe a backup plan. But then if you think about the cons of it, the price, you know, the students might think, well, you put out the idea, I expect you now to buy me a car with insurance, nearly. But, yeah.
Chloe, you're the person that raised in the first part of the discussion here the difficulties with transportation in an area like Fannet, which is your own area. I mean, is this something that you believe might work in schools? Is this something that would help?
I think it's a great idea in theory. Like you said, I come from Fannet and there's no doubt about it, I need a car. But my question is, with the lessons, one, are they cost free? And two, do they count as your actual 12 lessons going into getting your driver's license? Because I know I'm very fortunate that money has been saved up for me to do all my lessons and do my test itself. But the lessons are €45 each. And I'm just wondering, if you're getting those lessons in school, do they go towards, are they accounted for before you go into your 12 lessons with the RSA? And do they count for getting your license? Because it's all well and good knowing how to drive. I know how to drive, but I don't have a license. But I'm just wondering, are they accounted for? Because what's the point in knowing how to drive if you still have to pay €45 a pop per lesson?
My understanding is that is what the Rural Independent Group wanted to be. Now, they've opened up this debate in the Dáil, and let's be honest, I mean, if it does happen, it's years down the line, because there's a lot of political discussion and negotiation to be done before this. This is the germ, I think, of an idea rather than a finished product in terms of a proposal. But it certainly is an interesting one. I want to move on to an international issue and look at the situation that we can't ignore at the moment, and that's the current situation in Gaza. People are looking on with horror. People did look on with horror on October 7th when they saw what happened when Hamas infiltrated Israel. And then the Israeli response has been, to say the absolute least, I think it's fair to say it's been disproportionate, and serious questions over whether the response is in accordance with international law and with the humanitarian imperative that every conflict should have at its heart. I want to ask the three of you about Gaza and what can we do to address that situation? Are we looking on helplessly, or is there something that we can do? Cassie, from your own point of view, the situation in Gaza, I mean, it's horrible to watch, isn't it?
No, 100%. It's shocking to see, because I saw yesterday over 4,000 children are now dead. And that is just shocking to see. Young people are now losing their lives for something that should not be happening. I think for ourselves, what we can do is maybe address humanitarian needs. You know, if you haven't saw the videos of, say, the hospitals, you know, they're packed to the brim. You know, there's it's just nearly shocking and so nearly traumatizing, nearly just to see a photo of the hospitals. And I think, say, the United Nations, we all, and our governments, we need to actually take a look, say, what can we do? Because we've helped wars, not even wars, but we've helped things like this, you know, the Russia and Ukraine, we've helped with that. Can we help now with this, with the Israel, you know?
Yeah. Tiernan, from your own point of view, is there anything that we can do that perhaps may bring pressure to bear on this?
I think personally the key tool is social media. I think posting about it, representing that this is an international crisis, this is genocide, this is an absolute disgrace to happen in our world today in 2023. Social media is a huge tool to show people what's actually occurring. And I think in terms of what we can do, I think we need to look at our own government, because Leo Varadkar said about 3 weeks ago in News Talk, quote unquote, "I believe that Israel has the right to defend itself." So for our own Taoiseach to say to promote Israel in contrast to Palestine is not what the Irish people believe. I think the Taoiseach should really consider what the Irish people actually believe, because we've seen international protests in France, Madrid, Dublin and New York City. And to our government to say that, our Taoiseach to say that, like, Israel's right to defend itself, it's not really appropriate. It doesn't reflect the Irish people's viewpoint, because for me, and I see it everywhere, the Irish people are very pro-Palestinian and very pro-Palestine rights. And I think, and what the government has done, it has increased aid, it has been sending out help, but I think that we need to really promote the message that Ireland is for Palestine. I understand that the EU may contrast with that, the European Union itself, but I think Ireland needs to stand alone in this. I understand that Ireland has done loads so far, but I think just a little bit more needs to be done.
One of the points that was raised during a discussion yesterday with a representative of Letterkenny Palestine was the establishing of full diplomatic relations, which Ireland has not done as of yet. I take it that's something you would like to see happen immediately.
I would love to see that occur. I think it's an excellent idea. I think that we need, as young people, to also get involved in that conversation, to see young people my age die in a war that they're completely innocent in is completely brutal and inhumane, and it's horrible. I can't believe that something like this is happening. This is similar to what occurred in World War II and World War I, this like mass amount of death. And it's really, really not. It's horrible to witness and watch. As a young person, it really, really makes me think, if this is occurring when I'm 18 years old, what's going to happen years to come?
Chloe, from your point of view, Tiernan making it quite clear, he believes that Ireland needs to do more in terms of recognising Palestine, in terms of supporting Palestine and Gaza in particular. Is that a view you share?
Absolutely, yeah. I think the most important thing overall, before you do anything, before you donate, before you share anything on social media, is to really educate yourself. Now, I'm very fortunate that I study politics and society and we're actually going over it in class. But I think so many people are going off sources that aren't reputable on social media, or they see a Twitter thread and they run with it, because social media is awash with misinformation at the minute and propaganda from both sides. I've seen it all, and I know myself, I didn't know which side to stand on either at the start. And I think once you've really educated yourself on both what's going on now and the lead up to it and why it's happening now, I think the best thing we can do is have empathy towards those in the situation, and also you can donate. And if you, even if you're on the fence, if you don't know what side you're on, there was one site that I found, the International Committee of the Red Cross. Now, they're a neutral, independent humanitarian organisation, and they help both sides, and they're working to get to protect the civilians of both Palestine and Israel. So they donate medical supplies, they help to identify missing people, and they fend for the sick and wounded. Because we're watching on the news and we're seeing all these stats, and to be honest, I stopped checking them because they rise every day. But last I checked, I think 2 days ago, the combined civilian death in both Palestine and Israel was nearly 10,000, and that's civilians. And people see that number and go, wow, that's a lot of people. But I want people to imagine if you got Croke Park pitch and you had 10,000 people on that pitch and you looked at it, that is the real casualty. That's the tragedy that's going on. And it's not just statistic. It's people who've been killed. It's people that were going about their normal, everyday everyday lives. They had families, they had loved ones, they had jobs, and they had aspirations, and it's all been ripped away from them just like that.
Chloe, Ireland sits on the UN Security Council. Ireland, we're told, has influence in Europe. Is Ireland using that influence enough? Is Ireland using that UN Security Council seat enough?
I'm not entirely sure. I'm looking, Cassie mentioned there how we stepped in with Ukraine and Russia. There was no hesitation for us to take in refugees. There was no hesitation for us to be donating millions of euro to Ukraine to help them. But I don't see a whole lot of that with the situation that's going on with Gaza. And back to what Tiernan said, what Leo Varadkar had said about Israel having a right to defend itself. I believe that it's clearly, one, hasn't been researched enough for him to say that. And two, they're too close-minded. They're not looking into it enough. And they're not really using their resources as best they can.
Let's take a look at some of our comments before we go back to our panel. We were discussing the issue of immigration. Caller says, if you stay here, there is no work, so I understand why so many go. It's simple. It's because there is nothing here. With regards to Gaza, a caller says, we need to boycott Israel's goods and services, the same as was done with South Africa in the 1980s. A caller says, our young people are leaving, yet the government have ensured maximum population flow into Ireland, all in the best interests of global finance. No journalist in sight is giving reasonable commentary on what is happening. Another caller says, it's good to see young people going away. They soon find that everything isn't sitting ready. A comment earlier suggested that people who emigrate within 2 years of finishing college should pay back their education. Caller says, that person who said that, what is it they pay back? The caller obviously hasn't gone on to further education because going to college is anything but free. If I had children, I'd be booking their ticket out of this country. There is very little for the young ones in Donegal. I'd encourage them to travel and learn about other cultures. There is a huge world out there. Let them experience it. Young people you have on this morning are fabulous. They have good heads on their shoulders. Great show. Another caller says, is the whole point of having local representatives not to have them pressing their parties in government on local issues? This is a failure of our local representatives, TDs and senators. The bridge over the Swilly is a perfect example. They've been hiding behind the A5 for at least 30 years. There isn't a town in Ireland the size of Letterkenny not bypassed, and that includes bridges. That's a comment from Martin. Also want to just go very briefly before we go back to our panel. I want to go very briefly to our online pages. We've got some comments there as well. Mairead McGrory says, well done to Chloe and to all the panel. Jane in Rathmullen says hello to all. Have a great weekend. Hello as well to Annie and to Conrad and to Rosemary. Patrick makes a comment. Our native youth have to vacate Donegal to make room for the stranger and the affluent celebrities combining our county for retirement sites on the edge of our glorious beaches. Those who occupy land should pay reparations to those who hold the title deeds for the land. The liberators of World War II should also pay reparations. UN and international law favours the combatants with the deepest pockets. Any race on planet Earth that has public debt is not free, Ireland included, so says Patrick. Now let's go back to our panel, and our panel are Cassie Lamb, Regional Officer for the Irish Second Level Students' Union, Tiernan Lynch, who is a member of the Student Council of Loretto Community School in Milford, and a colleague of his on that same council, Chloe Martin. I want to talk a little about perceptions of young people, and particularly the perception that antisocial behaviour at night seems to be the purview of young people, and that they can be a scourge, as it were, on our local communities. I want to go back to the panel and say a good morning again to you all. Cassie, I want to go to you first, because very often you hear of things happening and it's, tis all the young people, tis the young people are at it. Are you getting unfairly blamed?
To be fairly honest, you know, the young people, to be fair, if you think about it, young people do it a bit, but they always blame the young people. You know, if something happens, I bet it was the young people. I bet it's the young person down the road. They're very, the generation now, they're very easy to point out that the young people are the problem at the current moment, and to go off like that. And it's nearly just funny to see it at times that it's the young people's problem of something that happened, or if something's broken. You know, anyone could have done it. But, you know, sometimes it's not always the young people, you know.
Tiernan, are you the scapegoat for all of society's ills?
Scapegoat? I don't think so.
Not you personally, but young people in general.
Well, in terms of a night out or nights out in general, I think antisocial behaviour can be produced by any age group or anyone in that matter. I think it's very popular amongst young people, so there would be more, subsequently more problems would occur with young people on nights out and stuff like that. So I think in terms of if it's unfair blame, it is an unfair blame. But I think as young people, we also have to understand that the vast majority of us are out. Older generations probably wouldn't go out as often as we do. So it's understandable where they're coming from, that you can just blame young people because young people go out most often. But I think we have to understand as well that anyone can really produce it. It's not really fair to really categorize a certain group for antisocial behavior. If that makes sense.
Chloe, going to yourself, and I mean, as someone who's in Fannet, I suppose the first thing is, in your own local area, there isn't really very much opportunity because there isn't an awful lot there. But in terms of perceptions of young people, I mean, do you find you're welcome in society, or do you find that there's elements of society that are looking on young people with suspicion?
Definitely. There's such a generalisation put on young people today that, oh, they're all bad articles, and, you know, I mean, I don't know about here in Doncaster, but I'm in my bed sleeping at night. I'm not out breaking windows or trashing cars. And I just think that people need to recognise they didn't pick it up off the grass. And there seems to be no focus put on the gang culture behind it. And things like you said, I am from Fannet, and young people get bored and they hear about this great lifestyle that involves gang culture, and they get bored and they start to do stupid things. But it's not all young people. Yeah. And I mean, there needs to be a focus put on the leaders of gang groups and things like that, because there seems to be no intervention made. If a young person breaks into a car or smashes a window, he's at that age. All them 16-year-olds are the same. But I seen there was a study done by, I think, the National Drug Library, and it said that 70% of these antisocial behaviours can be resolved at first intervention. So what needs to be done is there needs to be positive engagement, further education, mentoring and diversion activities to support people who change behaviour, because it doesn't come from nowhere. You don't just wake up one day and decide, you know what, I'm bored, I'm going to break into a car or I'm going to rob a house.
43 years ago, I was a member of the Waterford Youth Council, and I was involved in a youth club in Waterford City as its chairperson. And the big debate among us at the time as teenagers was facilities and the lack of them, was investment in youth clubs, was investment in centres where young people could go, and in rural areas it was the transport that could bring people to places. Now, we've seen initiatives in Letterkenny like The Loft, we've seen areas around the northwest where there are some really good youth clubs, there are some really good services provided for young people in urban areas. Now, that doesn't answer the problem of people living in rural areas and how did they get there. I mean, can more be done? And I know Lorraine Thompson and the crew in Donegal Youth Council are doing amazing work, and I would acknowledge that, and I wouldn't say it's a failing necessarily on their part, but does more need to be done in terms of making youth services and youth facilities in Donegal accessible to all, particularly to those in rural areas? Cassie?
Okay, so, you know, I think in the budget this year there wasn't too much funding put into youth services, and, you know, how is that fair by this point? You know, say for myself, just as an activist, all the big conferences, all the big meetings happen in Dublin, the city. I physically can't really get there. You know, all the big days that I want to go to, they are in Dublin. And it's really hard for me to actually transport down there, you know. And I don't understand why it's always going to be Dublin. Yes, it's the capital. But maybe if they made it more accessible, say, for young people like myself, Tiernan and Chloe, who are rural students, we don't have trains, we don't have great transportation. And, you know, sometimes you don't even get your money back for taking the bus, or if your parents drive you down, you don't get refunded for that. But, like, now in Letterkenny, I can see that there is a change in youth services. You know, we have it. It's coming, especially, I think, because of COVID-19. We didn't have any youth services. I think that's when Ireland really started to take a step nearly in youth services because of COVID, seeing that young people did struggle during COVID. A lot of people struggled through COVID, and it's finally nearly just taking an impact that youth services are important and they need to be funded.
Ciarán, if you want to go to a gig, if you want to go to a conference, if you want to go to some form of event, I mean, do you have the opportunity to do it? And does more need to be done to give you the opportunity to do it?
I think in terms of what Cassie touched on with transport, I think in terms of me travelling to events that I would like to attend, I think there is transport there. Like, I do use Bus Éireann, I think, or the Patrick Galler. I think it is a good service. But I think on the other hand, improvements can be made. I use Bus Éireann sometimes to travel to Dublin, and the plugs to charge your phone doesn't work, or maybe your ticket doesn't work properly, like when you're getting it scanned. So I think improvements have to be made. And for my history project, I want to do the trains. I want to understand the historical value of trains in Donegal and why it declined. And for me, I want to understand why that happened. I want to understand why the train service don't exist. Because I want to study in Queens next year. I would love just to get the train just from Letterkenny to Belfast. I think that's extremely more convenient than a bus. So I think in terms of if I want to travel to different places or different gigs, as you say, I think that the facilities are there. I think the government can argue that the facilities are there. But are they of merchantable quality? Probably not. And are they run every hour like the trains do from Derry? No.
Much snookered unless some investment is put into Local Link that provides a service that gets you into Letterkenny and, more importantly, homing in at midnight or whatever.
Absolutely. There is, I mean, there's a bus at 5:45 back home. But say you had something on at 5:00, you get the last bus, which is 3:30 to Letterkenny, and you have to sit there for an hour, and then you have to sit for another hour and wait in the bus. And then when you get home, it's a matter of getting back from the bus stop to your house. I mean, there's two different buses that go by Fanna. There's a Patrick Gallagher one that goes into Carrigart, which is about 20 minutes from where I live. And then there's Local Link, which goes into Ballylair, which is about 15 minutes from my house. So in order for me to go to things in Letterkenny, like, there are youth services in Letterkenny and the Loft and everything like that. But we used to have a youth club in Fannet when I was in primary school, and now it's gone. And I mean, I think youth services need to be brought in more, because I'm going off. Even my brothers, my mum works a full-time job, and, you know, they get collected by grannies and everything from school. But if he had something to go to after school, like a homework club or even just a youth club where he can go and see his friends and have a bit of crack, play a bit of football or something before he comes home in the evening, I think it would really be beneficial, because I had the opportunity to do that when I was younger, and I think it was on every Friday or something. But they got rid of that. They got rid of things like we used to have a fanned band that you could go to after school. That's gone. Things like that. So if they're not going to be giving us things in rural areas like youth clubs, they need to be giving us better transport.
And we're seeing too, I mean, we know, for instance, the church, the Catholic Church structure in Fannet is changing in recent times as well, and they're sadly having to cut back on the masses, and they have to share priests between different churches and cut back on what's happening in the churches. So we're seeing that sort of scaling back because of depopulation happening right across the Fannet area, and youth services, it seems, are a victim of that, as it were, as well. Something, and we began this whole discussion with a discussion on the disconnect between local experience and what's being discussed in council and Dáil Chambers, and maybe these areas of rural isolation and the falling back of services over the years. I mean, it's a terrible thing to say that there is less available to your younger brother than there was available to you when you were his age. And, you know, that really is an indictment of what's happening. And maybe they're the sort of things that need to be looked at by the councillors, by the TDs and by the ministers.
Absolutely, I think so. So much has changed. I mean, if I go back to when my mum was young, there was so much more available then. There was little available to me, but there was still things on. There was things like the youth club, there was Girls Brigade, there was after school clubs and stuff like that when I was younger. And now there's nothing. I mean, he goes to football and basketball and everything, but there's nowhere for him to just go to have a bit of crack after school if mum's coming late from work or anything. There's none of that anymore. And I think it's something that's so beneficial to people, and it really helps them get out of their comfort zone and make more friends.
That's been the Friday panel on the 9 till noon show. And as always, and I say this every time because it's true, it's the fastest hour of the week when you are presenting the 9 till noon show. Chloe Martin, Cathy Lamb and Tiernan Lynch, all three of you, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning. It's been great hearing your views, and we look forward to having you back on the show again. And I know Greg enjoys the chats as well when you come on. And it's great to hear your voices, and long may you continue to raise those voices, and long may you continue to be heard. But for now, Tiernan, Cassie and Chloe, thank you all very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's been our Friday panel. And as I say, that's been Tiernan, Cassie and Chloe. And, you know, it's great to hear those views articulated, and really important that they continue to do so.